149 in the hymn book.
Desire that, and we would pray that be according to your will, but
Your will is obviously the thing that matters the most, and so we pray that your will be accomplished in the hearts and lives of those affected. Be with us now as we look into your word tonight. We pray that your will be accomplished and that we would each receive it with a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I don't have any special announcements tonight that I know of. Let's take a moment to turn to our new memory verse. It's in the book of Jude. Book of Jude, verse 21. Yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Okay. After our second song, which is 310, we'll take a moment to look at a new purpose. 310.
Visit yesterday, and it looks like she'll probably be going in the hospital next week. some time for a tune-up, and we're going to try Lehigh Valley Hospital. Looks like Cedar Crest.
Oh, again?
Yes, because her doctor knows somebody over there, so we're going to try it and see how it works.
Okay. Hopefully she'll have a better success with this new team rather than the Hahnemann team that she had.
Well, it is still her same group of her same doctor from Hahnemann.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's still in charge of her.
Okay. Okay, anything else? Sam?
Continue to pray for Florence and nursing home.
Okay.
I stopped by to see her on the way to church, and she's said she misses everybody. She sends her greetings and just asks us to pray for her.
Okay. I think a lot of you know already that Cheryl and my mother are planning to go over there in a little bit. You can let either one of them know if you have something you want to send along to greet her with or whatever. So
I was over there today to see her, and she said the same thing, to tell everybody she misses them.
Okay. Good. All right. Go ahead, Sam.
She's already getting the Baptist bread. Just so you know, in case anybody was thinking of taking that over, so she already has the two latest issues.
Okay. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah. Foremost is I'm just reminding everybody that pray for a pastor for a church, that we get somebody, get a name. Just pray that the Lord will send somebody. Pray for all of us on the committee, that the Holy Spirit, that will be open to the Holy Spirit working through us, and just pray in that manner. That's all I can say.
All right. Yes, Barb.
I didn't get that.
A reminder about praying for a new pastor. With the stand that our church takes and the situation we have here, it's difficult to find somebody that's solid to come. So just pray about that. All right. Brother Crew, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. All right, good evening. Good to be back. My age, I always tell people it's good to be anywhere. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. All right, open up to Philippians chapter 2 this evening, and we'll try to finish up the passage that we started on the last time I was here, which was supposed to be, the title of that one was supposed to be A Priceless Pair. And the pair were Timothy and Epaphroditus, but we only got through one. So I don't know what we'll call it tonight. We're doing the second half of the pair, and that will be Epaphroditus. But as a way of review here, the second chapter of Philippians, Paul is dealing here in his letter back to the church there in Philippi with the submissive mind, and he's using four examples of the submissive mind. In this chapter. And the first one, of course, was the Lord Jesus. And the second one was Paul. And then the third one, Timothy. And the fourth one, Epaphroditus. And they are spread out throughout the chapter. First 11 verses deals mainly with the Lord and talks about submitting to the person above me. And, of course, he did that, submitting to the Father. And he asked these questions of himself. Do I think of others first? Am I a servant? Do I sacrifice? And is God glorified? And you could see him fulfilling those those questions in his own life here on earth. And then it went to submitting in verses 12 to 16, submitting to. So here we are back now. Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear it. Okay. We're back in Philippians chapter 2. And we're looking at, we're looking at 19 through the end of the chapter. And we did the first half of this section last time talking about Timothy. And, of course, Timothy was led to the Lord by Paul. And about 6 years later now, he is enlisted to go on this second missionary journey with Paul. And then later on, he actually replaces Paul at one of the churches. So, you know, he really made some strides there from that first time when he was probably a teenager, when possibly Paul led him to the Lord, which is certainly the implication of Scripture that he was his son in the faith. So Paul had a big influence on Timothy. And a lot of times when an older Christian is mentoring a younger Christian, he'll call that young Christian a Timothy. That's a term that's often used. And, you know, there was a ministry down in Lansdale many years ago that had what they called a preacher boy program. And Pastor Freeman was involved in that at some point. And Pastor Smith, who is my pastor now, was involved in that. And he was very influential in training young guys and giving them an opportunity throughout a summer to serve and to preach and to, you know, they had to attend every wedding and every funeral, and they did visitation and all kinds of things that were practical in their growth in preparing for the ministry. And I'm sure Paul did those kind of things with Timothy to get him ready to, at one point, eventually take over for Paul in some manner. But Timothy was a fellow that was, the Bible says, well reported of. He had a good testimony with other people. He was a kind of a guy that had a heart for others, and he certainly took to the teaching that Paul gave him. He had a servant's mind, we said. He had a servant's training, and he was one of these fellows that was not raised in the hothouse, but he was raised out in the ministry, out doing the work. A lot of times that hothouse approach can be good for a while. Maybe when the children are small, you want to protect them from certain things by keeping them sheltered from it. But there comes a time when they have to be put out there to see what they're made of, to see if they can actually do the job. And Timothy was thrust into the ministry with Paul very quickly. And then finally he had a servant's reward. And that reward was taking over for Paul. And he was chosen as his replacement when Paul was called home there in 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 11. We can see about that. But now let's move on now to verses 25 to 30, and let's read those. Chapter 2, verses 25 to 30. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you, excuse me, Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, that he may minister, that he, and he that ministered to my wants. So in other words, this was a fellow that helped take care of Paul there when he was in Rome. And then in verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard, you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life or his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. All right, well, this fellow Epaphroditus is an interesting character. He's not mentioned only but a couple times in the New Testament. Thank you. Appreciate that. But the name itself means charming. It's not a name we hear too often. Nobody's naming their children Epaphroditus anymore. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And I wouldn't be surprised if we'd see it crop up, because for many years you never heard anybody named Moses or Jacob. And these names are popular today. Noah. Noah, I think, is one of the top three names in the United States the last few years. Noah. Now, when I was a kid, there were no Noahs in my class. You know, nobody named their kid Noah. So this is kind of cyclical. So we may find Epaphroditus making a return. You never know. But he was, says here, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. It says back in Acts when he's mentioned there. And as far as we know, he was a full Gentile. And he was a member of the Philippian church. He was a member there, and they decided to send this gift to Paul over in Rome because he was in prison, and they chose Epaphroditus to take the money. It was a dangerous trip. It was a hard trip to make. It probably took him a couple months to get there back in those days, but they picked him. And first of all, we'll see here that he was a balanced Christian. We see that right in verse 25, the first verse that we read this evening. And what a commendation. Look how Paul describes this fellow. How would you like Paul to describe you this way? Isn't this exciting? Verse 26, he says, I decided that it was necessary to send Epaphroditus, you know, back to you now with this report, but which actually this letter of Philippians that he's carrying. But look what he says. He calls him my brother, my companion in labor, fellow soldier, your messenger, and that he ministered to my wants. So look at the things that are said here about Epaphroditus. And it's interesting to put these together. First of all, he calls him my brother. Now, if you look back in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 5, it talks about the fellowship of the gospel. And there's a parallel there between this name, my brother, and being involved in the fellowship of the gospel. And then the second descriptive term he uses is my companion in labor. And then in verse 12 of chapter 1, it talks about the furtherance of the gospel. And there's a parallel there. And then he says, my fellow soldier. And then in verse 27 of chapter 1, it talks about defending the faith of the gospel. And that would be a parallel to this term, the fellow soldier. And then, of course, he also says he's a messenger and he's a minister. So there's no shortage of commendation in this verse for Epaphroditus. Paul thinks an awful lot of this fellow. He really does. And but he emphasizes here in this verse 25 the balance in this fellow's life. You know, there is a tendency to get out of balance in the Christian life. There's a tendency to do that. And some people, they major on one thing. And every time you go to talk with them, sooner or later, the topic's going to come up of what they're majoring on. And it may be fellowship. You know, they like to get together and fellowship, and they like to have a good time together with other Christians. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's a good thing. But there's more to the Christian life than just sitting around fellowshipping with other Christians. And then there are other people that all they want to do is witness all the time, always handing out tracts. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. But there's more to the Christian life than just witnessing. There's more involved in that. And I'm careful how I say that, because you certainly can't overestimate that. It's a good thing. But the point that I'm trying to make is that we need balance in our Christian lives. We need to have fellowship with other Christians. And he talks about that here in this, the idea of the fellowship of the gospel. But then we also need to further the gospel by giving out the word of God. And then the last one there, the fellow soldier part, we need to defend the faith. And there are some people that's all they do is they point out the wrong in every other ministry and every other person that's working for the Lord or thinks they're working for the Lord. You have somebody out there that has this watchman type mentality that I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that one. Now I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that one. And there's a reason for that. That's important too. But that shouldn't be all we do. That's there with the other two. We have the fellowship, we have the furtherance, and then we have defending the faith. They're all important, but there needs to be a balance. And, you know, I remember hearing a story about a church that they put up, and they were one of these churches that all they did was fellowship together. They never outreached. They didn't have a good missions program. They just got together and fellowshipped. But they had a sign over their front door of their church, and it said Jesus only. And it was there for many years. And it's a good sign. It's a great sign. But all of a sudden, one time a windstorm came up and blew the first three letters of Jesus off. So the sign said, us only. And somebody commented, well, that pretty well describes that church. That's what they are. They're us only. That's all they're concerned about. And so hopefully we don't get like that. Anyway, so he was a balanced Christian. He was a well-rounded Christian. Secondly, he was a burdened Christian. Now, like Timothy, Epaphroditus was one of these fellows that was very concerned about others. And to begin with, he was concerned about Paul because the implication is that he probably volunteered to make that dangerous trip from Philippi over to Rome to take this gift because he had a love for Paul. And he was burdened about him being there in jail, house arrest, basically, over there in Rome. And so he was burdened about that. So he was burdened about Paul. Secondly, he was burdened about his home church back in Philippi because they had heard that he was sick. And look what it says here in verse 26. He longed after you all. Paul puts this in this letter that he's writing back to Philippi to encourage them. And he puts this little verse in here. He longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. And so Epaphroditus doesn't want the people back in Philippi to be worrying about him. That burdens him. He doesn't want them to be discouraged and to be burdened because he was almost died, but he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about these folks, his home church members, his friends back in Philippi. And he said, you know, I don't want you to be worrying about me. That makes me sad to hear that you're burdened about me. I'm okay. I'll be all right. And that's his thought process here. It's good to not be burdened about yourself, but to be burdened about others, be burdened about other people. And, you know, we all have things that we go through. And, you know, I have to be careful as I get older. A lot of times the first thing that comes out of my mouth when I'm meeting somebody, I got to give them the list of all the things that I'm dealing with in my physical body, you know, and that shouldn't be what's the first thing on our mind. So we need to be careful about that as we get older. But the fact is, he wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about the people back in Philippi that were worrying about him. And so that's a good way to be. And the Bible says here he was full of heaviness about it. It bothered him. And, you know, one thing else that this points out, you know, some people preach an idea that if you're serving the Lord, if you're doing what he wants you to be doing, you're going to be protected from illness. You're going to be protected from harm. And that's a lie. That's a lie right there. Because Epaphroditus certainly was doing his best to serve the Lord, and he was obedient. And not only was he not protected from sickness, there's no indication here that Paul healed him. And, of course, we don't know if Paul didn't heal him because Paul couldn't heal him, or whether it was the fact that that temporary gift of healing was passing off the scene and it was no longer here. Because we know that later in Paul's ministry, he had to leave Miletus. Was it Miletus? Trophimus at Miletus. That's why I had the names backwards. He had to leave Trophimus sick at Miletus because he was sick. Well, you know, the people today that always want to harp on this healing, that it's for today, the greatest writer of the New Testament couldn't heal toward the end of his ministry. And so, therefore, this is a good example of that. Epaphroditus was a faithful, hard-working Christian, and he almost died here, almost died. So just because we're doing God's will doesn't mean that we're protected from these things. Now, he does say that he'll give us the grace to go through them, but he doesn't say that he's going to protect us from them. And that's Epaphroditus is a good example of that. So then finally, as we close here, verses 28 to 30, he not only was a burdened Christian, and what was the first one? I forgot it already. A balanced Christian. I thought that was the most important one. But anyway, he was a balanced Christian. He was a burdened Christian. He was also a blessed Christian. And what a tragedy it would be in our Christian lives if we went through our whole life and we were not a blessing to other people. Nobody could say, boy, you know, I really appreciate that lady or that young man or that older man. He's been a blessing to me. And certainly Epaphroditus was. He stood with Paul. He certainly was a blessing to Paul. He stood with him here in this prison experience. And he didn't even permit his own sickness, which was a very grave illness, to prevent him from trying to help Paul. And I can imagine the times they probably had together as he would come and visit Paul. You know, Paul was chained to the guard, remember, couldn't go anywhere. But yet he could have visitors. And so I can imagine Paul and Epaphroditus sitting down and talking and encouraging one another. Maybe Epaphroditus would share something that Paul did when he started that church in Philippi. And they would talk together and would encourage each other. And Paul admonishes the church to honor this fellow because of his sacrifice and his service. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing that for people. Now, we have to be careful that we don't honor someone to the exclusion of Christ getting the glory. I mean, anytime you honor somebody for something, you're honoring them for how God was able to use them. In other words, it wasn't them necessarily, but it was God working through them. And so there's nothing wrong with honoring servants of Christ for something that they do, as long as God gets the glory for the whole thing, and that it's not man, it's not uplifting man. We want to be careful about that. But basically, it means to hold somebody. When it says here that we honor them, and where am I here? Let me find the verse.
Verse 29.
Receive him therefore with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Is basically the idea that we're getting at here, and it's an idea of holding somebody in high regard and respecting them for their testimony. That's what Paul is admonishing these people in Philippi to do as he returns to them. And so he was a blessing to Paul here. We're talking about why he was a blessed Christian or a blessed Christian. He was a blessing to Paul. He was a blessing to his own church. But the part I like about it is that even today, he's a blessing to us. because this is an encouragement to us to read a book of Philippians and to see this is just an average church member, just like you and me. He's not the pastor of the church. He's not one of the apostles. He's not one of the writers of the Bible. He's just a church member, just an average church member. And this is recorded 2,000 years ago for us today to encourage us that this is the kind of testimony that we can have. If we would apply the things that we've learned and apply the example of a guy like Epaphroditus, we can have a life that's joyful to us. It's a life of sacrifice, and it's a life of service, and it shows that the submissive mind that Paul is talking about through this whole chapter, second chapter of Philippians, it really does work. He was submissive to the Lord's leading in his life to pack up and leave his home, leave his comfort zone there in Philippi, and go on this dangerous trip. And I don't know if he caught some disease along the way or whether it happened after he got to Rome, but he went through some real hardship because of this and didn't let it sideline him. And so Paul uses Timothy and now also Epaphroditus together to encourage us that we need to submit. We need to submit to the Lord's leading in our life and submit to one another in the Spirit of Christ. And we need to realize that if we're going to serve submissively, it's going to cost us something. It very well may cost us something. It cost him almost his life here. And I think I closed with this the last time, but what I would say is service that doesn't cost anything usually does not accomplish anything. If it's going to be something that's going to be God's going to use, it's going to cost us something, whether it be financially, whether it be our time, whether it even could be our health. I've heard many stories, you probably have heard them, of missionaries that went over to a foreign land and caught some disease that's prevalent over there, whether it be malaria or dysentery or some of these things that come up, or maybe got a snake bite. I can remember hearing a story of a missionary that I knew personally, and he was only there just a few months, just got his house, and his wife was leading a Bible study in the house, and he came in and saw a snake coming through a hole in the wall, and he had just time to get his machete and chop that head off. And of course, the example that was, or the explanation that was given was that there is no place safer than being in the will of God. And he felt that he was safer and his wife was safer in the will of God over there in that dangerous place than they would have been had they stayed home and not followed the call of God in their life. But so that's Epaphroditus. Now, next time we're going to start with chapter 3. And so let's close in a brief word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for these things that you've said were left for us for ensamples or examples that some cases we might avoid pitfalls, in other cases we might follow their example. And so all examples in the Bible are not good, but some of them are and some of them aren't. This one happens to be one that we should follow, and I pray you'd help us do that here in the time and place that you've put us. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.